Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. We appreciate you joining us. What a treat to hear from Tom Lacavari. You're listening to Resurrected Republic. Sitting in is Lori and Eric. Wow, they gave Tom, I thought that was pretty close to a miracle. Tom got like almost an hour of phone time. So, you know, praise be the Lord. The people at the halfway house, you know, they're not being too harsh. And we won't have to do a phone blitz on them. No, I'm just kidding. We won't want to screw it up for Tom
right
now.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, no, but hey. That little cloud's got to be looming over. You always know that we're the Patriots are scratching at the door, and the witches must be pulling the last few gray hairs out of their scraggly scalps, trying to figure out how they're going to put the whole genie back in the bag as the Patriot move is getting bigger and stronger and faster, and it's happening here on the RBN network. I just want people, and I only say this to not to make myself look bigger or better or to make somebody else look smaller or worse, but you're not getting it at the other networks. You're getting it here on the RBN network, so please support the network. I mean, once again, now did you notice tonight when Lori got into the pedophilia, the sex kind of scandal thing, she went right to the activism. Judicial Watch is getting her done. They're demanding the release through FOIA commands that they're going to flush the documents out, that we're going to hopefully present them to an honest attorney general, which we do not have, but we'll fight that one later. But they're on the right track. Activism, press. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the activism, I mean, what good is it to chase Hillary Clinton around the country yelling at her about how her husband's a rapist, and then it stops right there? That, to me, that's not the full package. We're so far down the toilet of tyranny, we have to do something, instead of just sitting around, you know, listening to salacious reports about the latest, you know, who groped who and who grabbed who when and what woman might be lying about this and which sex scandal is that. And this is they're blitzkrieging us with baloney. This is the baloney blitzkrieg of 2017, the great patriot persecution, which just got a little lighter with Tom's release, but in this, the year number 9 of the Obama administration.
And, you know, I want to say I'm thankful, too. Tom is in the halfway house, everyone, and he is, from what I understand, being treated pretty fairly. So I'm thankful for that. You know, no matter where you're at, God can move, and God does move. And I'm just thankful that Tom was able to visit with us, and I was able to give y'all a little surprise. I hope I didn't give it away. Did I give it away? Did I give the surprise away at the beginning?
Well, yeah, you played his opening the opening song, I think, gave it away pretty well. And then Chris, I think, got the hint, and he said something. I know it was fun. It was just a huge blessing, and it's a beautiful night. You know, good news is hard to come by here in the witches' fictitious entity, in the witches' court, in the witches' prison, etc. But you know, that was good news for today. The bad news is the committee that I didn't mean to get down on. I know Lori was kind of excited that we're going to have a committee hearing the evidence on Uranium-1. Unfortunately, knowing that Peter King is the head of the committee and he's an avowed, admitted in public Jesus zit, I don't see how that committee is going to do anything but stuff all the real evidence back in the bottle and release the garbage for the Warren Commission's claim that JFK was killed by Lee Harvey Bin Laden.
Right, and I understand where you're coming from, Eric, but what I'm excited about is not so much the committee hearing itself. Is they're calling for people, anyone who has information to it. That's what I'm excited about.
Sure.
So we need to push that narrative.
Whoa, hold on. If I was those people, I'd be really careful and be a little watching my six, because they want to flush out the dissenters in this. Yeah, you follow me? And Chris knows where I'm going with this. Chris, open this one up a little for Lori.
Well, no, I know what you're saying too, Eric, but the fact of the matter is these individuals have been speaking nationwide for years now. So it would be obvious if they targeted them.
There we go.
Well, you could watch very closely Lazaro. You could watch the BLM whistleblower that came out and exposed Harry Reid and Roy Reid and their cabal and their acquisition of the Bundy lands and the building of the interchange up there for the transmittal to our Chinese enemies of the Chinese communists, so they'd have a secret base location in the guise of the miner.
And we can't walk in fear. We can't walk in fear.
Yes, but once again, wise is gentle but wise. And have your discernment on high. I mean, because there's a couple counteracting scriptures there. Let me just say, they're gonna key in on this. I hope I'm wrong, but I gotta say, because I know the witches too well and the Jesuits, that I guarantee they're not going to give Laz any subpoena or any FaceTime at the committee to get the real skinny what went down with Uranium One. But they are going to locate him. Find him, watch him, find out what he's got, who he knows, who he's talking to, how, get all the whole thing, build a nice control file and find a weak spot so they can take him down, possibly assassinate him like they did with LaVoy. I'd be very careful. They're looking to identify the witnesses to remove them from the scene, not to find out what they know and give us justice. I hope I'm wrong, but the Antichrist system that we're in, I gotta say, I don't think I am.
Well, you know, and here's another thought pattern before I get into the updates from the Bundy trial, okay? As you've seen in a lot of different courtrooms, not Congress too much, but in different courtrooms, they have used what's called closed circuit television for people to be able to testify but not be in the courtroom. So I see no reason why whatsoever Congress shouldn't have that same ability. All they need is a Skype account, I'm just saying, and these individuals could testify via Skype, answer questions back and forth and everything, and location not be given.
Okay, and my suggestion is that everybody send an email to Peter King asking him what his relationship to the Jesuits is and how his training with the Jesuits is going to affect his performance as committee chairman. And I think just the fact that he knows that thousands of people know who he is and what he is, that, you know, he may get away with less abuse and less murder. I mean, we're talking murder here. You're going to find witnesses having convenient heart attacks. And I don't even want to speculate, but I see very not very good things happening with the Jesuit-led committee. Peter King, of all people, they had to pick the head Jesuit, Peter King, is now going to take over the Uranium One. Oh, boy. Vatican's not in charge, huh?
I do know that he also was involved with writing a letter opposing the Russian takeover of the U.S. uranium in 2010, October 6, 2010.
They have to do things. It's like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any other pseudo-conservative, Trump. They got to throw the Patriots a few bones. They can't show their globalist colors on everything. They're going to write a letter.
Well, I know that. I get that.
I complain about that.
I get that. I'm not saying they're necessarily with us. We know that most hearings don't amount to anything except for a dog and pony show. We get that. But we can't always just focus on every negative either, because out of a bunch of negative comes positive, like the stuff with the Bundys right now, okay? With the previous two trials,
It's not being negative. It's being aggressive in the face of tyranny, and we can't back down and be all milquetoasty. And, you know, let me just play the yin to that yang.
Right, but if you don't put yourself out there in order to expose it to their face, that is backing down.
I got you. No, I'm not saying anybody should withdraw. I'm just saying, know who you're dealing with, everybody. You got the zits
in charge
of the committee. Yeah. Here they come.
Yeah. All roads
lead back to Rome is still true to this day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's pretty amazing. So I wanted to update everybody with Brian Hyde. He is the individual who gives the updates from the court for the Bundys. Okay. And so I have a clip in order that he is speaking about what happened today in court. And if you would, Mike, go ahead and play LV1.
Hi, this is Brian Hyde, and just wanted to check in and let you know how this Monday in the courtroom concluded. This was a good afternoon. One of the things that had been battled out throughout the morning by both the prosecution and by the defense was a phone call taped between a BLM agent, Mike Johnson, and Ryan Bundy. This was taped on March 17th of 2014. And it was part of an effort on the part of two BLM agents. Agent Shalakis was partnered up with Agent Johnson and sent to Bunkerville to contact the Bundy family, tell them about the impending enforcement of two court orders to trespass their cattle, and then also to ascertain the Bundy family's intentions and to see what exactly can we expect, because in the past, I think they said six times, maybe it was five times in the past, this was the sixth time, the BLM had tried to trespass their cattle and had been thwarted. Interestingly enough, the sheriff was the one who stepped in and said, no, this isn't going to happen before. Nonetheless, they had taped this phone call with Ryan Bundy, and this morning, excerpts from it, I think a total of maybe 15 minutes of that phone call, were played to members of the jury. But the phone call itself was a good 45 minutes long. The defense strenuously objected and said, look, they need context. The jurors need to have context if they're going to hear this. And the judge and, frankly, the prosecution relented and said, okay, if you want to enter this into context, then let's go ahead and play the whole 45 or 46-minute long phone call. And they did. And this was another one of those little miracles where Ryan Bundy probably had no idea that it would ever be used for this purpose, but Ryan Bundy got to school the jurors on a number of reasons why the Bundys weren't just going to go along with these court orders. Now, when you hear people say, well, it's because there are scofflaws and they just don't respect the rule of law, that leaves an awful lot out of the picture. I mean, it's if that's the point of view we're going to take, that's very easy to do if we only define things in terms of legal and illegal, meaning anything that some politician or some bureaucrat puts on a piece of paper becomes legal and therefore right, and anything that they say no to or anything that would prohibit them from carrying that out is somehow wrong. But Ryan was able to explain in this 45-minute phone call with Mike Johnson, wow. I mean, it was intense, and you heard Ryan very animated and very determined at times to explain to this agent. And I'm going to walk you through just a few of the things here, just because he covered so much. One of the things that the agent wanted to know is there going to be a physical problem? In other words, he's asking, "What we intend to come take your cattle, what do you plan on doing about it?" And Ryan's answer was the same that his dad had given, you know, for years. Whatever it takes. And you got to understand, this is not just because we're going to stand up to the feds for no reason other than they're the feds and that's what you do. The purpose behind it is because they have rights and they are willing to stand up and assert those rights. And the fact that there are not very many people around today who are willing to do such a thing, that's more of an indictment of the masses than it is of the Bundys, who are willing to stand for what they believe in. Ryan touched on a common thread that he and this BLM agent shared, and that is their LDS faith. And Ryan schooled him about LDS scripture, what it says about the Constitution, how the LDS people believe the Constitution is a divinely inspired document, and how they believe that they are commanded to uphold that document and to uphold it for the sake of freedom for everyone. And this is something that Ryan was trying to explain. He talked about the 28 enumerated powers in the Constitution, outside of which government does not have authority to do things. He talked about the Supremacy Clause, because this is one of the first things that Agent Johnson brought up to him. Well, I've read the Constitution, and I know about the Supremacy Clause. And when I say Ryan schooled him, and in turn schooled the jurors, I mean he gave a very clear lesson on what this all means, why the Constitution was set up the way it was, how states' rights, how grazing rights, they're not privileges. These are not federally created and granted privileges, and they shouldn't be treated as such. He talked about the desert tortoise. He talked about how the BLM does not make law, which was interesting because Agent Johnson talked about how, you know, well, are you just going to ignore these laws we've made? And Ryan says, you don't make laws. You make regulations. And Agent Johnson agreed with him in this phone call. Ryan talked about how ranchers would support them. And he says, you don't have a right to violate another person's rights. Now, he's talking to a representative of government, and he is appealing to him and saying, just because you belong to a government bureaucracy does not mean you have the right to go around violating other people's rights. And it was a very good lesson. I don't believe it was wasted on the jurors, even though I'm pretty sure for a lot of them they were hearing this angle for the first time, most likely. It's not something that's widely taught in the schools, and it's certainly not something that bureaucrats are going to encourage people to know about. It was telling, though, that I think I counted about a third of the jurors sitting there taking notes, maybe more. Just, they were obviously paying attention. I could see them writing furiously, and there was a lot of information to be covered there. Other things, Ryan reminded the BLM, because they kept asking, well, what can we do to avoid any kind of physical problems? And he said, recognize our rights and don't come to gather our cattle. And they just kept insisting. This agent kept saying over and over, we are coming. Get that through your head. We're going to come and we're going to take your cattle. And Ryan said, we're not going to let you take our cattle. And it seems a little confrontational, but you have to understand that from the standpoint of this BLM agent, when government has spoken, the thinking is over. And no one may challenge government. And this goes back to that thinking of, if it's legal, then it must be morally correct. If it's illegal, then it must be morally incorrect. But we're trained to think in terms of legal and illegal, and unfortunately that leaves us high and dry when it comes to matters of right and wrong too often. Let's see, Ryan also talked about putting the BLM on notice, by which he meant legal notice. If you harm our cattle, then we will hold you legally responsible. Again, they asked, well, what are you going to do? I mean, it was just as open, what do you intend to do? We're coming to take your cattle. What are you going to do about it? And Ryan kept saying, whatever it takes. And the agent would press him again, what do you mean? And Ryan just said, that's all I'm going to tell you, whatever it takes. You interpret that any way that you want. Now, it's interesting that government chooses to interpret that in the most violent way possible. And I think that's going to come out further on in the trial when they start talking about, why did they send a 200-man armed-to-the-teeth task force to impound cattle? Because they interpreted whatever it takes to mean not the least amount of resistance it takes to resist that court order, which had been done in the past, but because they were assuming that that must somehow mean bloodshed or somehow violence. One thing that Ryan pointed out to Agent Johnson is, he says, you can't defend the Constitution while you're working for an organization that's in the process of destroying it. And I think Agent Johnson actually at one point said, oh, that hurts. Or he said that was, he thought that was kind of a low blow. And I don't want you to get the impression that, Ryan was trying to bully this poor guy. He told him, he says, I know it hurts. I know it's a painful thing to consider. Because for this agent, it means you are playing for the side that is not supporting and upholding freedom. And that would be a painful thing. And frankly, there are a lot of people who have yet to have that kind of contemplation or that conversation within their own hearts of, can I be a good individual when my job requires me to do things that are not good?
No. So
that was how it ended up. They're going to hash out a few things starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning out of sight of the jury. The jury should be back in the courtroom tomorrow at 1 p.m. There was a conflict with a juror who apparently has been subpoenaed for something else, and so it may possibly be bumped to Wednesday at 1 o'clock. But I don't know how to tell you. It's not like, we can say there was a clear winner. The judges, or the boxing judge's decision, 3-1, said that this is who came out ahead. All in all, the bright spot was Ryan was able, through this phone call, to get some very vital information imparted to those jurors. How much of that is going to resonate with them and make a difference, that's anybody's guess. But the fact is, it came out, it's on the record, and they cannot unhear what he was able to teach them. And there was a lot of meat on that bone. I mean, he was able to throw them some very good information. That's our report for this evening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Isn't that awesome? And it keeps getting better and better and better, everyone. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
I really think that was a marvelous report by Mr. Bryan, and I think he articulated it very well. And I'm constantly pleasantly surprised, astounded, and very, very proud of Ryan Bundy's ability to present his own interests, to articulate them with the specificity to clarify it to the jury and everyone else in the courtroom, including the judge and the prosecution, the rights that were given to us by our Creator, our natural rights, some of which are preserved in the language of the Constitution, enumerated within the protections of the Bill of so-called rights, which are really limitations on government. The way to articulate these things, to teach and educate, is so critically important to spreading the message of freedom and liberty in America that it must be resumed and brought back into the classrooms to restore the concepts that are fleeting away from America.
Absolutely.
One of my complaints is the Bill of Rights is nothing more than a bill of suggestions because there's no teeth in it. There's no penalty. There's no remedy. There's no, it's just, hey, do this. And the witches say, nope, we're going to infringe. And so, it would be nice to have some teeth in that Constitution, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would. But, you know, and we've discussed this before, the Bill of Rights shouldn't be called the Bill of Rights. It's the Bill of Limitations. It's supposed to limit what the federal government can do. And it's in a contract and an agreement between the federal government and the state. It doesn't touch individuals.
It doesn't limit anything. It suggests that it be limited, you see? And that's why it's a bill of suggestions, because there's no teeth, there's no penalty. It suggests that this be limited. It suggests that that be limited. And it can say it anyway.
But it says shall not, and the Second Amendment is supposed to be the teeth, but the problem
See, here's what the witches and the Nazis are like, giant evil children. They have to be told, or else 10 years behind the witch's bars, or else all your property gets stolen, or else, there's nowhere else in the Constitution, ergo, it's a bill of suggestions.
Mm-hmm. And that's because people, unfortunately, have been so indoctrinated and so uneducated about our founding and how it really has happened through these government indoctrination centers, these schools, that it has caused the people to not only not understand what their unalienable rights are in the first place, but, you know, the fluoride in the water and all of the different things. People have really gotten chemically dumbed down and altered. And I have some information about that tonight, as a matter of fact, that I really need to share with the listeners. I know this is not on the Bundy thing, but it kind of goes with the dumbing down and the contamination of our people. And blows my mind that, well, it really doesn't blow my mind. It doesn't surprise me.
Before you go there.
But, go ahead.
Yeah, before you go there, I'll just make a quick comment. You see, everything was said was just wonderful. I mean, this Bundy's a real orator. But the question still remains, and I hate to sound like a broken record, when the commander-in-chief of the United States, the president of this country, he took an oath only to uphold the corporation. Mm-hmm. His oath does not have anything to do with the United States of America, the people. And we have to come to an understanding of that. At least I have come to it. Now, the question is, as I tried to get something started in the 6th District Court in Detroit, that we bring the president up for treason.
Well, the thing is, too, and I know what you're saying, and you're right.
Right.
But here's the question.
Wait a minute. He has all these siblings working for him out here. It doesn't matter what they want to call themselves. And they fall underneath the same situation. And all they're doing is playing repeat and repeat with Mr. Bundy on the questioning process. They're trying to break him down, or they're trying to bring on a situation, whereas this is a danger, folks. Now, you can bet they had 1,000 agents listen to that same thing, and they all had an opinion of what do we have to do to contain these type of people. The United States of America, the real people, they do not understand this completely. And when you talk about the president not having an oath to the United States Constitution, to the United States of America, people just look at you.
But here's the thing. He took an oath, as you said. He took an oath, as you said, to protect and defend the United States Constitution, which is the corporation. You're correct. But there are limitations that they have to abide by within that corporation. And they are
only if they choose to abide by them, because there's no, once again, there's no remedy.
I understand that, but I'm going off of what Gary is saying, I'm going off of what Gary is saying. But the fact of the matter is, because of the type of oath he took to the United States Corporation, he's not committing treason, because he is abiding by the oath that he took.
Well, okay, back up, Lori, though. The very fact that they usurped and conquered and unlawfully transferred, transcribed, transmuted the organic Constitution for the United States of America into a corporate whore, that was unlawful in itself. And yes, absolutely, they're committing the highest of treason. You cannot legalize the unlawful, and that's the scam they're playing on. Well,
here's the thing, Eric. If you want to go into that, the United States, the Constitution for the United States of America was actually usurped as well. That wasn't even lawfully done. All the way back to when all that began, the first talk of the North American Union was because of the Constitution. The real power with the people lied in the Confederation, but the point of the matter is, just I'm talking about, because he took that oath to the corporation, and I get that. And I know what he's talking about. But here's the thing. You can't, but I understand, and you've got to understand, someone can't go into office and automatically change 200 years of stuff in 1 year or 2 years.
That's the excuse he's using. No, I know, but
this
that's
isn't
the
an excuse. It's a fact. It's infiltrated everywhere.
He's using it
as an excuse to continue the globalist agenda. If he was a real patriot president, he would have had the White House Oval Office ceremony for education, be bringing civics back into the classroom so people learn about patriotism, freedom, the Constitution, common law, etc. Instead, he's turning the young people over to his daughter Ivanka, the Zionist, who's going to put everybody in front of a computer at our expense and database them and find a nice little hole that they can plug a child into for the corporate business model. We'll be right back after this break. It's Eric DeFries, the Screamer on Resurrect the Republic. Sitting in for Tom, it's Eric, Lori, Gary, and Chris. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us and support the network. Hold tight.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
A revolution needs a war, and this war needs a revolutionary fight for your rights. The Constitution speaks of speech that's free. Open your mouth from sea to shining sea. But will the real Americans please stand up? No more eyes. No
resurrect the Republic. RTR reloaded.
Will the real Americans, please stand up. Divided, we're falling, but united, we'll stand.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Reloaded. I am Lori Anderson, joined with Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Tom Lacovera Stewart was with us earlier and will be joining us more and more as we move along. And we want to also thank Gary and Chris for joining us as well. Now, Eric was just talking about the Department of Education. That needs to be abolished in the first place. There's no authority to have that. However, well, speaking of education, yeah. So I wanted to
Department of Indoctrination, sorry.
Exactly, of indoctrination. So let me tell you something that came up, and this infuriates me. And Eric, as you know, we try to get this information out to the people, and so we can make a difference. Well, it's time for us to make a difference for a mother who is being bullied, and that is my opinion. I'll read you the article, and you tell me what you think. Mom puts a recorder in a child's backpack to catch a bullying. She is now facing a felony charge. Yes, you heard that correctly. In Norfolk, Virginia, the mother of a Norfolk student turned to television station Wavy at WAVY after she was charged by the police. Quote, "I tried to be fair, but it's not fair," Sarah Sims said. "There is nothing fair about this." In late September, Sims said that she had enough. She said her 9-year-old daughter was getting bullied at Ocean View Elementary. She said repeated calls and emails to the school went unreturned. "The thing that bothers me the most is that I am yet to get a response from anyone in the administration," Sims added. Sims said that she took actions into her own hands. She wanted to prove that nothing was being done to help her fourth grade daughter. She put a digital recorder into her daughter's backpack in the hopes of catching audio from inside the classroom. Quote, "If I'm not getting an answer from you, what am I left to do?" Unquote, she asked. The recorder was found. The 9-year-old was moved to a new classroom, and about a month later, police charged Sims. "I was mortified," Sims said. "The next thing I know, I'm a felon. Felony charges and a misdemeanor when I'm trying to look out for my kid. What do you do?" Wavy contacted Norfolk Schools and was told because it was a pending investigation that no one could comment on what happened. Wavy was told that no electronic devices are allowed in elementary schools. Quote, they aren't making this about that classroom, Sims attorney Kristen Paulding said. They are charges that carry jail time. Sims was charged with a felony use of a device to intercept oral communication and misdemeanor contributing to the delinquency of a minor. The felony charge could carry 5 years in prison. Instead of comforting her, she's going to a magistrate and being handcuffed, Paulding added. Paulding calls the two charges a stretch, and she said that she believes neither should hold up in court. We are at the very early stages of this, but even at the early stages, I think community needs to know that this is happening, because any parent out there that is sending their child to school now could be at risk for something that happened to Sarah, Paulding said.
What's the name of the presiding witch?
I don't know yet. Sims is scheduled to have a preliminary. Sims is scheduled to have a preliminary hearing on January the 18th. Now, with that being said, I used to live out in the Norfolk, Virginia area many moons ago. So it's not going to be too terribly hard to find out whom this judge is. So we need to get on this, and we need to, I believe, advocate for this mother, because this, and I will be checking the recording laws, because first of all, it is a public school that they are referring to. Now, the schools may have regulations, but they are school rules. It is a public school, which is funded with public money. Therefore, there is no expectation of privacy. You are also violating that child's First Amendment right.
What's the name of the school?
This is, give me 1 second. Ocean View Elementary School, located in Norfolk, Virginia. This is outrageous that they would try to do this, and they didn't even respond to the bully that was bullying her child. This is one of the reasons I tell everybody, get your kids out of the indoctrination system. That is all these schools are for. And Norfolk, Virginia, I can tell you, the school system is not the best in the world, if you will. There's a lot of rough stuff that goes on out there. So I am not surprised that this kind of thing is going on, and then they're trying to cover this up. We need to speak out for this mother. That's just my opinion.
I might add to this conversation.
Yes.
This is a trend, a symptom, a cancer that we see permeating America. The vindictive prosecution of people who are trying to guard, protect, and defend their rights, their children, their property, their personal interests. And whenever they do this, because they're not talking about the corruption of the school, the failing of to protect the most precious commodity they have, supposed charge of in loco parente while the child is at school, they're supposed to act as a parent. And if they're not protecting the child from being bullied, terrorized, or perhaps sexually assaulted, or no telling what else might happen if they don't suppress this type of diabolical behavior that's unchecked, then when you don't check it, you're inviting it to continue or aiding and abetting the continuing perpetuation of it. It's absolutely insane.
Chris, communitarianism, collectivism equals communism, the destruction of the family. Am I wrong?
Absolutely.
And I just want to point out, too, that bullying in Virginia is against the law. It is prohibited. It is against the law. And each school board shall implement by July 1st, 2014, policies and procedures to educate school board employees about bullying, as defined in 22.1-276.01, and the need to create a bully-free environment. So they are also in violation of Virginia law by not taking care of her child, whom they have temporary custody over, not as in the court system, but they have possession of her when she is in the school.
She has a birth certificate. Lori, she has a birth certificate. They have possession of her when she's at home.
Well, you have a point with that, too. Yes, absolutely. But they have a law for that. So how in the world can they even justify going after this parent when the Virginia law itself and federal law, might I add, on bullying?
They'll only utilize the law via selective enforcement to achieve their goals. This is something that Saul Alinsky, it comes right out of his playbook. You use the law to benefit you. You don't use it when it's not advantageous to your cause. You use their rules, their laws against them to achieve your effective goals. This is collectivism. This is what this is. Just take a look at Australia, New Zealand. Take a look at Great Britain, the Fabian socialists. I could go on and on, but I'm sure that people on this network are a lot more, their eyes are opened a lot more than most. But I urge all of you, look up communitarianism, collectivism, communism. The goals are very...
This is absolutely very similar.
Look at what's going on all over the world.
This is very clearly the same pattern we see in the Republican and the Democrat Party, where Nancy Pelosi wants to profess that Conyers is this upstanding epitome icon of a representative, when he's been engaging in the same diabolic, perverse, and depraved activities of sexual perversion and using the people's money to pay off these victims that he have come forward and complaining of his abusive nature of them, violently violating them or raping them or whatever else he was doing, and having us, the people, pay for it. And yet she wants to hold him up as he's this godish icon. And it's so insane that you would do that position. She should be wanting him to retire from Congress and take out. And he shouldn't get his lifetime retirement. He should be deprived of those benefits for abusing his discretion and his abuse of his fiduciary public trust office.
Well, I want to say while I've been digging while y'all are talking, and there is a October 2013 document, Board of Education, Commonwealth of Virginia, and it is the model policy to address bullying in Virginia's public schools. And I'm going to give you some names. The individuals that were acknowledgments in this, which means they had a part to do with putting this together, is Dr. Patricia Wright, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Virginia Department of Education, Dr. John Eisenberg, Assistant Superintendent, Division of Special Education and Student Services for the Virginia Department of Education, Dr. Cynthia A. Cave, Director of Office of Student Services, Virginia Department of Education, Dr. Michelle Schmidt, Director, Center for School Community Collaboration, School of Education, Virginia Commonwealth University, Dr. Wayne Berry, Student Services Specialist, Virginia Department of Education, Ms. Joanne Burkholder, Student Assistant Systems Coordinator, Virginia Department of Education, and Cynthia A. Cave's email. For any direct questions about this model policy, you can send an email to Cynthia Cave at Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, period, Cave, C-A-V-E, at D-O-E, period, Virginia.gov, or Ms. Joanne Burkholder, is Joanne, J-O-A-N-N, period, B-U-R-K-H-O-L-D-E-R, at doe.virginia.gov. I think it would be appropriate that we maybe write them, send some emails to them in a professional manner, asking them to fully investigate what is going on, as this mother has been reaching out about the bullying, and for some odd reason, the school finds that it is okay to go after the mother for trying to prove the information about a bully. Now, the Virginia's 2013 General Assembly defined bullying Quote, bullying means any aggressive and unwanted behavior that is intended to harm, intimidate, or humiliate the victim, involves a real or perceived power imbalance between the aggressor or aggressors and victim, and is repeated over time or causes severe emotional trauma. Bullying includes cyberbullying. Go ahead.
Sounds like the school system is actually bullying the mother for trying to protect her child.
Exactly. Exactly. And then it also says bullying also encompasses retaliation against a student or school employee by another student for asserting or alleging an act of bullying. In other words, if you are trying to report bullying and then there's retaliation because of it, which seems to be the case in this manner, there are supposed to be consequences. So I will give Mike this link so that you can get the whole document, and it can be put underneath the description box below the show so that maybe we can help this lady and get some of this information out there. So the link to the article will be put under the show, as well as this document for the Department of Education of Virginia. If you want to get involved, make sure that you professionally and no threats or anything else, because that's not what we're about. We're about drawing awareness, but we are definitely not about any kind of threatening or any such thing.
Obviously,
like that.
Right. And don't forget to send a copy to the Vicar General for the Diocese of, was it Norwalk or Norfolk? What was it?
Norfolk, Virginia.
Norfolk, Virginia. N-O-R-F-O-L-K. Norfolk, Virginia. Type into your search engine, Diocese of Norfolk, VA, Virginia, and you will see the Archbishop, the Vicar General, and probably a judicial vicar as well. Whose judicial do you think he's vicaring? So don't forget to send them a copy of everything that you send to one of the lackey lower-level gatekeepers who is put there to distract you from the bishop's office and the vicar's office. Let them know we're not distracted. That one call from the Archbishop could release Tom Lacovara. One call from the Archbishop could release the Bundys. One phone call from the Archbishop can get her done. They are the people with the power. Just look at the Chief Jesuit who's in charge of the Uranium One Committee. It shows you that through all roads lead to Rome is still true to this day, Lori.
Right, absolutely. So that really saddened me to hear about that. And I know we only have a few minutes left of our show, so I want to go in tomorrow, or excuse me, Wednesday, when I come back on, about some disturbing information that I have found out about cereal. So I'm going to bring that up, because earlier in the day we were discussing, you know, the contaminants that are in our foods and
cereal.
In cereal, not just cereal, but other things. But this, what struck me on this, okay, was there was a post where a father who had been in the construction industry for many years, but he was just reading the box of cereal, and he noticed that there was trisodium phosphate in the cereal. And he's like, what? So he started looking through his cabinets, and then, of course, he got angry, and he spoke out and did a video. So that's what caused me to start looking into what he was saying. And, of course, fake news snoops. Fact check, quote, is paint thinner trisodium phosphate found in cereals? And, of course, they say, oh, that's false. Well, of course, it's not, quote, unquote, paint thinner. But trisodium phosphate is used in paint thinner. So, the fake news snoops who is supposed to do all the fact checking.
Let me throw a couple more out there. There's another one that has to do with paint. There's a common ingredient that you'll see in a lot of food, especially just look at your ingredient. Even some vitamins have it. And gosh, I hope the good vitamin companies will, if it's in there, they get it out quick. But you'll see the word titanium dioxide. Titanium dioxide is what they use in paint. And that's also what they use to coat many vitamins because of its color and because of the shine. And they use it in candy bars and all kinds of stuff as cereal, many cereals and granola bars and donuts and all that, titanium dioxide. So that's another ingredient that's found in paint that's also in your food. I looked at the ingredients in the bag of dog food that I feed my dogs, and I looked at the ingredients on a bag of bread that they sell for people, consumption for people, and the dog food was so far and away healthier and cleaner than the bread that's meant for humans. I mean, the ingredients in the bread on the shelf, sodium acid pyrophosphate, propylene glycol, which is antifreeze. You'll see propylene glycol formula on the environmentally friendly antifreeze. And, of course, it's in many ice creams. It's in Dr. Pepper. It's what gives Dr. Pepper soda that kind of creamy taste. That's the propylene glycol antifreeze. Look at the ingredients on your Dr. Pepper, folks. It says propylene glycol right on the back. And when you look it up in the dictionary, it tells you the propylene glycol is a lubricant for motors and the antifreeze and all kinds of other things. So Lori's on something here that's one of my passions is clean food, and you're not finding it now. Look, here's why that Donald Trump is not for real. If he could just keep some of the big things in place, like Monsanto controlling the food supply, which it still does, and he's never going to do anything to change that. Keep Lockheed Martin in charge of the military-industrial suppliers. He's not going to change that with his warmongering. Keep the Federal Reserve printing our currency. Keep the attorneys claiming that the state is a victim and this fictitious entity can somehow prosecute real people like me and Tom and you and everybody else. Let's just stick with those four right there. Not to mention keep the vicar generals in place, and you got with just those four or five components, he could do everything else. He could build a wall. He could get us out of TPP. He could do this and that. And keep all the three-letter agencies still in charge. All the Federal Reserve bogus currency keep printing. All the military supplies keep rolling off. The police security state being enforced through the witch's court. You know, and what do you got? You got the same. You got year number 9. Of the Obama administration. But, you know, let me finish the thought. Wasn't the Obama administration year number 8 of the Bush administration? Absolutely. And wasn't Bush administration nothing more than an extension of the Clinton administration, which was nothing more than an extension of the CIA George Bush Sr. administration? So, and why don't we just call for what it is? We've been pretty much under the Vatican Jesuit Zionist administration with all their front men, whether it's Trump or Obama or Bush or Clinton, since what? I mean, I don't believe Reagan was for real, so I'd back it up almost to Kennedy or Eisenhower to go back to a president who was even close to something that's for real.
Okay, so I wanted to give y'all a list real quick, because I can't go into the major details until Wednesday, obviously. So here's a list of cereals that have trisodium phosphate listed as an ingredient. Trader Joe's O's, Mom's Best Cereals, Cheerios, General Mills, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Golden Grahams, Honeycomb, Lucky Charms, Wheat Square Cereals, Trix, Cocoa Puffs, Triple Berry Toasted, Wheat Chex, Cookie Crisp, Party Mix, Tasty-O's, Reese's Puffs, Heart Healthy Cereal, Kix, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Fruit Loops, Meyer's Honey Nut Toasted Oats, Oatmeal Crisp Cereal, Nestle Nesquik Cereal, Cookie Crisp Cereal, Magic Stars Cereal, Nestle Oats and More Raisin, Quaker, Kellogg's Corn Pops. And if you want to know a little bit of really disturbing information, I have enough time probably to cover this part of it. Health and First Aid. This is what it says about trisodium phosphate. It is repeated or prolonged contact can be irritating, causing dermatitis and sensitization. Aqueous high alkaline solutions may produce caustic burns on the skin. Eyes.
Oh, yummy.
Dust in the eyes can be irritating, causing tearing, redness, and possible tissue damage. Inhalation. High dust concentrations can be harmful, can cause respiratory tract irritation, coughing, and breathing difficulties. Ingestion. not a normal route of entry. However, causes irritation of the gastrointestinal tract and can be harmful or fatal if swallowed. First aid procedures. Eyes. Flush with large amounts of cool running water for at least 15 minutes with eyelids forced open. Get immediate medical attention. Skin. Remove contaminated clothing. Wash exposed skin with soap and water. If irritation develops and persists, seek medical attention. Inhalation. For excessive inhalation, remove to fresh air. If breathing is difficult, give oxygen and seek medical attention. Ingestion. Do not, and that's in all capital letters, by the way, induce vomiting. Give large quantities of water. Seek immediate medical attention.
And that's in the cereal. Yeah. Great. I feel so much better now. And you know who's, and almost all the food supply can be traced back to ConAgra, Monsanto, and one or two others, DuPont, I believe, Dow is in big in the GMO food. But the food supply, did you know that there's only one food wholesale supplier in upstate New York left? One. And they're on the ropes, possibly going to have to close down because the state is intentionally putting everybody out of business. Everything you're seeing, from the, what Lori's talking about all the way out to the Bundy trials, it all ultimately has to do with business. It has to do with people who are making money. They didn't care that the cattle were damaging the land at the Bundys. They wanted to seize his property and destroy it so they wouldn't have an independent source of income that was independent of the big corporate cattle farms. And you mark my word, what has Trump done to restore the tens of thousands of family farms that have been closed by Monsanto and the corporate pressure through the Congress, taxation, and regulation? I'll never forget being out west hearing that 1,000 family farms in 1 year closed in California, Oregon, and Washington. It's insane. We want our republic back, and we're working on it. Derek, the Freedom Screamer, you heard from Tom Lapkevara tonight on Resurrect the Republic. I want to thank Corey Anderson, Tom, Gary, Chris, Mike on the board, Mike Herzog, John Stattmiller. Join us tomorrow again on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network.
Many people write us about their experience with Extend.